Morning, everybody.
Morning.
Everybody on the campus microphone is working, does it matter? It's always a great delight for me personally to be here with you at St. Catharines for a variety of reasons. And those reasons include the number of people who smile here. Which, is always good. You can't always, for whatever reason, count on that in all congregations. A happy group of faithful, committed Christians. Your place is clean and inviting. Hey, I always get fed though. This is my wife Mary's first time here. And so I'd like you to meet her. She can just stand up. And we also brought you one granddaughter. One daughter, a friend, and two other grandsons who were in the nursery. So, things could happen. So, I want to point out a distinction that we find between the Hebrew scriptures and the Christian scriptures, the Old Testament and the New Testament, that has a quality which is important for us to reflect on, to receive as the gift of God's grace. Okay? That is this. Imagine, if you will, being one of David's brothers when the prophet Samuel came over for a little barbecue and a little anointing. And the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look on his appearance or the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For the Lord does not see as mortals see. They look on the outward appearance, but the Lord is on the heart." All good and true. And then these brothers pass by, and the prophet keeps hearing, "Not this one either." And his brothers go stand over there, and Samuel says to the dad, "Is there another brother here?" "Well, yeah, he's the one who keeps the sheep. Go get him." And so they do. Now, just imagine this. David shows up. He's looking good. And the Lord says to Samuel, "That's the guy." Samuel anoints him to be the new king. David has no clue as to what's going on. And the brothers are standing over here going, "This isn't right." Now, what it is, in the Hebrew Scriptures, we find many examples of God's Spirit picking an individual for an individual purpose. Okay? God is active in human history through an individual at a time. Now, we read the Scriptures from St. Paul, who is writing to one of the earliest established Christian communities in a Greek town called Corinth. And what he writes, within a generation of time of the arrest and execution of Jesus, this growing faith, rooted in the same belief of the Spirit of God who picked an individual, and says this, "For the love of Christ urges us on, because we are convinced that one has died for all. And he died for all, so that those who live might live no longer for themselves, but for him who died and was raised for them." Meaning, everybody's picked. Now, don't you think that's a dramatic distinction? It is. And in the Old Testament, we hear that God is looking on the heart. And in the New Testament, we hear that it is our desire to have our hearts be humble and available to God, which is a kind of summary form of what what St. Paul is saying. So, this day, this church, we are acting as a faith community to be mindful of the reality that God has already chosen Paul. And yet, in the midst of that being chosen, there is a sense of personal responsibility to that chosen stature. And also a sense that even though you're chosen, you don't get to actually accomplish what the result is going to look like. There's an odd tension, don't you think? Don't we spend all of our time telling our children and even ourselves, we look in the mirror, we find ourselves being disappointed with ourselves. You can do better. Come on, put out your best efforts. And yet what we find from Scripture is that God has chosen and that God is the only power that brings about kingdom maturity. Now, the gospel that we have heard is very familiar. It's the mustard seed story. We find it planted in other gospels used in different ways. John's gospel, which does not speak in parabolic form, however, even says this. Oh, I lost my faith, but you know what? I know what it is. In John's gospel, we find this statement about Jesus. Jesus himself actually saying, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit." Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is as someone who scatters seed on the ground." He also said, "But what can you compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable will we use for it? It is like a mustard seed, which when sown upon the ground is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes the greatest." There's something about this early teaching of Jesus, seemingly used in a variety of circumstances, and this early grasp of that teaching by the earliest generation of Christians who looked at that with a sense of assurance and hope that even though small, beleaguered, even if dead in the grave, that God can grow something magnificent. Which is, of course, the earliest strata of the faith itself, is not. Christ died for all. So their starting point is dead body and human. And from that, unleash a faith that went around the globe. Those were Paul and Father Peter. Already chosen. We don't know now. The parable that he tells us, seed put on the ground, and it began to grow, and the sword didn't know how. Pretty amazing watching stuff grow in your yard. Something planted and something didn't. And this miraculous thing comes up. And the teaching that we get is, of course, that God is growing things in us that we can't even remotely imagine. And the point of the parable is that you are responsible, but God is going to work something out in you. Now, if Christ died for all, according to what St. Paul has to say, and he goes on to say that we now look at no one from a human point of view, what's he saying? He is saying that as the faithful, we look at everyone from a resurrection point of view. Something's happened between the teaching in the Hebrew scriptures in which God's Spirit calls one for specific purposes, and the Christian scriptures in which God calls all, like some individuals, for specific purposes, but all are so called. All of us are necessary to today at St. Catherine's. Today at St. Catherine's, we will have a rite of confirmation. And it is not a private ritual, personally. But it's not private. Where's Jacob? I mean, Matthew. Okay. As you do, it's not private. It is personal. It's also public. It's something that we as the church community live into. What the two of you do standing before the church is make a personal, responsible decision and action to have an increase in God's Holy Spirit direct your lives from this day forward. Now, it's not already been done. But your request for strengthening the Holy Spirit is for you, for us. You don't get to own this. You get to use it for the purpose of being the church. We, the church, are reminded of our own baptisms and our own increase in Holy Spirit and confirmation or ordination. And mindful of the fact that the church is never a solitary individual. The church is always a community gathering. God looks on the heart. That's pretty clear. And the entire Bible, Old and New. And when you look at the human heart, not on status, not on height, not on beautiful eyes, not on wallet, not on home, not on car. When you look at the human heart, we're talking about the seat of the human will. We're talking about the inner attitude that makes decisions, the choices behind words and actions and relationships. We're talking about who we are internally, that if you're anything like me, is in a constant need of state of being transformed. And I know you're exactly like me. None of us have graduated yet. None of us have arrived. Each of us, and all of us, for whom Christ sought, need Holy Spirit power to continue to transform us. Because we don't look at anyone from the human point of view. We look at everyone from a resurrection point of view, which is our hope, our purpose, our direction. It's where we're going. And we get glimpses of it now. We get tastes of it now. Especially when you come to church and people smile at you. You know, that's a good thing. There's a lot of places we can go on this earth where we will not get smiles, where we will not get acceptance. Do you know that you simply coming here this day could change somebody's life simply because they walk in the door? Do you know that you can be the source of strength and solace for someone who is in desperate need and can't find the words to tell anybody? Do you know that you are God's church? When you're out here, you don't get to make a decision how ultimately going to look, that you can't show up. That's your responsibility. God's responsibility is to change you, to make you the church, to change the world. And that's what we're doing here today. Isn't that great? Man, you're still going to need all that. Amen.